Blog Talk Radio.
So good afternoon or good morning, everyone. We are getting ready to go live on KIRM Radio. And the way to listen to that live is on www.kirm.net, kirm.net. They'll be calling into our studio here in just a moment, and then we'll be broadcasting live on omegaradio.org and on blogtalkradio.com. So anybody that's out there from Facebook or YouTube, we're not going to be bringing this message on YouTube or Facebook, but we are going to go radio time. And once again, we're waiting for that call. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we thank you for that special anointing, that grace to be able to minister over the AM/FM radio station dials. And we pray that your message would go forth and that it would bring light and understanding in Jesus' name, the Passover Lamb of God. Hallelujah. All right, so just a moment here. What I'll do is just kind of wait for a moment, and I know that call will be coming in momentarily as they're wrapping things up at KIRM Radio Station. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on omegaradio.org. And for all of our friends out there that are listening to that broadcast right now, I just want to say wherever you're listening around the world, our broadcast this morning with Daniel Second was wonderful. As Daniel was speaking, we had listeners from all over the world, quite frankly. They were in Philippines, Pakistan, Middle East. Just who knows? There were just so many people listening in, and we thank God for that. We pray that the message that they heard was something that was edifying for them. And that's what it's all about, edifying the body of Christ. So again, you're listening to blogtalkradio.com/xman777 and on omegaradio.org. And in just a moment, we're going to receive a phone call from the KIRM radio station, and they're going to link us in from our studio, and we will have our probably 55-minute broadcast on KIRM Radio today. As the Colonel is wrapping things up over there, we'll be opening things up here. Excited about tonight, Passover, all over the world. I believe in about 30 minutes. No, actually, in about one, right now, it's 11:02 on my clock. Isn't that amazing? Which means it's 7:02 in Israel, and the sun sets in Israel at 7:03, which means they are just now beginning their Passover celebration. Absolutely amazing. We're right there. Isn't that awesome? Right now, my clock just turned to 11:03. And yep, it's exactly 11:03 right now. Here comes the call. We're going to be going in and say, good morning, David.
Good morning, Vincent. Hold on just a second, please.
All right, so we're ready to go. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Right now in Jerusalem, Israel, at this very moment, we just turned to 11:04 a.m. here in Jerusalem, Israel. It is 7:04. The sun has just set at 7:03 tonight, and Passover celebration is beginning in the nation of Israel. From Jerusalem to the ends of the earth right now, Passover has begun. Hallelujah. That is the time when the children of Israel, 3,500 years ago, were locked up in a nation called Egypt, also referred to as the House of Bondage. They had been there 430 years. Now the time has come for their deliverance and their release. And it was on this night, 3,500 years ago. Remember, it's 7:04 p.m. right now in Jerusalem, Israel. They were entering into their homes. They have put the blood of the lamb over their doorposts. They were entering in and they were going to eat that Passover lamb with their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hands, their loins were girded, and they were ready to go out. They had to have that lamb roasted with fire, nothing to do with water, and eat the whole thing. So right now, for the second time in the history of the Jewish nation, once 3,500 years ago, they were told by Yahweh to go into their house and shut the door and do not come out until the morning time. And so they put the blood, and here 3,500 years later in Israel, the Passover will only be celebrated in the people's homes because of the quarantine that has been enacted. So this is an amazing time. And I don't know if anybody saw the massive super moon that was out yesterday. It's the largest moon, full moon in Israel. Even now, that moon is appearing over the skies of Jerusalem. What an amazing time. While the world then was being struck by plagues, and the worst plague was ready to come on them, the angel of death was about to go over the land. That's why it was so important for them to put the blood of the lamb or the goat on their doorpost. And when the angel of death saw the blood over the homes of the Jewish people, the Israeli people, the Hebrews, that angel of death would pass over. Well, Yeshua, our Passover lamb, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You and I are putting the blood on our homes, the blood on the lintel of our lives, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of the universe. Hallelujah. And so, just like back then, they had locust plagues, frog plagues, lice plagues, water turned to blood. Well, look at our world today. The world today is shut down over the quote-unquote COVID-19 coronavirus, and frogs and locust plagues are going on, devouring parts of Africa and around the world. We are in something so big. And by the way, Bernie Sanders, the socialist, just dropped out of the race. 7 months ago, I told you I had a dream about Joe Biden winning the election. I prayed it was a nightmare. I still do. And we need to really pray against Joe Biden becoming the next president of the United States if there is an election, because he's already hinted that Hillary Clinton is going to be his vice president. Oh my goodness. In my language, we say, Mamma mia, mari dadi. I don't know if we're allowed to say that on the air or not, but I can't believe it. I mean, there's a lot going on. Political strategies, tricks, schemes, all kinds of lies and deception, and only God knows. Now, here's an interesting thing. Going back to Jerusalem, Israel, right now, they are celebrating. The shofars are sounding all over the land of Israel. They're all sounding right now, and as the trumpets and the shofars are sounding, the Israeli people are remembering 3,500 years ago. But what we want to pray is that our Jewish friends, our Hebrew friends, our Israeli friends, that they would see that what they had begun to rehearse 3,500 years ago was a rehearsal, and the fulfillment of what they were told to remember took place 2,000 years ago, when on the day of Passover, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, was nailed to the cross. And as the Lamb of God, the prophet John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when Yeshua was on the cross shedding his blood, the same Israeli people were killing their sacrificial lambs by the priest, because they were remembering, but there was the fulfillment of it. We are looking back at a finished work. What was a rehearsal, what they were remembering, they were also looking forward to. What they were looking forward to came to pass 2,000 years ago outside of Jerusalem in a mount called Golgotha, when Yeshua hung upon the tree, and by his stripes we are healed. He hung upon the cross and he nullified all the powers of darkness against the Jewish people, the Israeli people, the Hebrew people first, those who would believe in him, and then for the rest of the world, the power of God was in Christ on the tree, and he became a curse so that we could be blessed. He became a curse. The curse of the law was on the Jewish people because they did not keep the law. So the curses of the law were upon them. Yeshua tasted death for every man. He became a curse so that we could receive the blessing of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit and eternal life. It all began with the Jewish nation. So we raise our cups to the Jewish people all over the world and pray that by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, they would be enlightened and comprehend to understand and know that the same Yahweh that their fathers were worshiping, he is the father of his only begotten son, Yeshua. The prophet Isaiah told us about it. Prophet Moses told us about it. It's a prophecy that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. But the adversary has blinded the minds of so many, but yet many have come to the realization, the messianic movement in our nation and around the world, that Yeshua is the long-awaited Messiah. Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel and Jerusalem. And yet there are still those that need to know. So we're praying for our friends, the Jewish, Hebrew, and Israeli people all over the world, of every tribe, every tongue, wherever they are scattered around the world, that they would know and understand that of a surety, Yeshua is the Messiah. And so we rejoice in that, for we who believe in Jesus Christ, we who are part of the new covenant, because the new covenant was ratified in the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Not only did he take away the sin of the whole world, speaking first of the Jewish nation who broke the laws of Moses, the ordinance, the commandments, they were under the curse because they broke the law, but Jesus paid the price with the shedding of his blood. And not only did he die for the forgiveness of the sins of the Jewish people, he's done it for the nations of the earth, and he's introduced a brand new covenant that is sealed in the blood of himself. And then the seal of the Holy Spirit, this is all coming from the same Father. I mean, we, the Christians today, are looking back and learning from what our forefathers, the Jewish fathers, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all of them are part of our historical reality. And yet the Bible is very clear that in Abraham, there was a promised seed that would come. Galatians 3 tells us that promised seed was Jesus, Yeshua, and that in him are all the promises of God fulfilled, from the mercy, the grace, the compassion, the love, the forgiveness, and the introduction of a brand new covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to shout to the God of all creation. While men on earth are doing their stuff, the kingdom of God is speaking. The dimension of heaven is rejoicing. And I'm sure today all the angels of God are worshiping the Lamb of God, Yeshua, who fulfilled the Passover. We are now looking back, and it's like celebrating a birthday. They are rejoicing in heaven. We are rejoicing on earth. And isn't it absolutely amazing that the rest of the world is blind? They don't understand it. Their minds are darkened. Every time they try to figure this thing out, they can't, because the receiving of Yeshua the Messiah is an act of faith. It is an act of faith to believe. Faith to believe. And yet the multiplied millions of people on this earth who have believed in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message that the devil hates, the message that the adversary, Satan, the beast, the red dragon, the false prophet, they hate the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because they know the demonic powers, that this is the salvation of the world. There's no new Messiah coming, ladies and gentlemen. Yeshua is the Messiah. And when he returns to this earth, he's going to return as the same Messiah that went to the cross 2,000 years ago to forgive the Jewish people of their sins for breaking the laws of Yahweh, the law of Moses. And then they were brought out of that darkened state and brought into a new covenant of grace and salvation and the time of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is awesome time that we are living in. And yet, as we celebrate tonight here in Northwest Arkansas, and for many people in the West, when the sun sets, we are going into our houses. We are not even going to have our Bible study tonight. We're going to go into our houses. Everybody's going to shut the door, and in honor and in commemoration of what was taking place 3,500 years ago, they were all told every family had a lamb for themselves. They were to kill the lamb, and you know, then when they killed the lamb, they would take the blood and they would fill it with a basin, and then they would put it on the houses, and then they were told to get in their houses and shut the door. And then they would have the lamb cooked, and they would have the Seder meal with bitter herbs. They would have all the ideas that were presented that God told Moses to tell the people. And then they would shut the door. And that night, I would imagine probably somewhere around midnight to 3 in the morning, probably in that realm, probably between 1 and 4 a.m., that angel of death passed over the land of Egypt. And whenever it saw the blood upon the house, it passed over, but all the firstborn of Egypt were killed. All the babies were killed. The firstborn in every house, even if you were an older person and never had a son, if you were the firstborn in your family, you were going to die that night if you didn't have the blood. And we're living what they're saying, that this week and the following week are the deadliest times, where the spirit of death is passing over the nations of the earth. And I want to encourage you to take the blood of Jesus, because you don't have an actual lamb to kill right now. So you could go back symbolically, but we could also symbolically, by faith, receive the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And by faith, put that on our doorpost of our house and on the lintel, and we could be confident as we stay indoors tonight. That's why we're not having a Bible study, because if people come out to the Bible study, they're going to leave and go outside back to their homes, and that wouldn't be the way it works. So we're going to commemorate this glorious feast. And by the way, this is Passover, is the first feast of the new year for Israel. Not the civil calendar that takes place in the seventh month of the fall, where they all say it's, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Happy New Year. That is still in the seventh month. We are right now on the 14th day of the first month, according to Torah in Exodus chapter 12. And so is the first feast of the new year. Now, once Passover is finished, the very next day begins a seven-day celebration called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's time to get the leaven out of our lives. And then on the third day, which would be the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the third day, so you have Passover, then you have the first day of Unleavened Bread, then on the next day, which is the third day, is the Feast of First Fruits. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And there's a great harvest of resurrected saints that will take place at the end of the age. But the priest would take the first fruits offering from the children of Israel, and they would wave it before the Lord, northeast, south, and west. And that was a signal that a harvest would come. And that was their part of their agricultural economy. When the children of Israel, they knew that they needed to give their offering to Yahweh. They knew how important it was, because the Lord would see their offering, and it was a signal to him, and he would bless them by sending rain to their fields so that the seed that they had sown would produce. And by the time they would get to the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, they would have their second great feast. So from tonight, on the next day after Passover, there was the counting of the Omer, or the Omer, and they would count 49 days from Passover, 49 days, and on the 50th day, they would Shavuot, and that's the next great feast in the Hebrew economy, Shavuot. It is the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks of seven, 49 days, and then the 50th day, which is a Jubilee number, the people would shout. It was now time for the second great feast, which would be the wheat harvest, and the people would offer another offering agriculturally, and then after the celebration of Shavuot. And by the way, what's so cool is when Yeshua died on the cross on the day of Passover, 50 days later was Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Okay, so the connection between the Old and the New Testament is amazing. One was agricultural, one is spiritual, and it's phenomenal. But what would happen? So you had four feasts by now. You had the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, that was all called. That was the fourth feast. And then it would be 4 months of harvesting. The Jewish people would be harvesting all summer long, all the way up until the fall feast, which began on the seventh month, which in the Hebrew calendar is Tishri. And on the first day of the seventh month, they would blow the trumpets, and that would be Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah would begin, which would be the fifth feast, Rosh Hashanah. 10 days later, on the 10th day of the seventh month, Tishri, would be the Day of Atonement. We know it as Yom Kippur, which was the sixth feast of the year. And then 4 days later would come the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot, the feast being the seventh, and they would celebrate that 8 days, and that would be a completion of the Feast of the Lord. My God, it's all revealed in the book the first Pentateuch, the books of the Torah. It's all there. And every single one of those feasts have spiritual implications, spiritual meaning, intrinsic value to the saints of God. We look at it like this. Our faith in the new covenant is in the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is our Lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He is our Passover Lamb. The Apostle Paul said it. Shaul said it. And then when he died, 50 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in the room where the saints were gathered on the day of Pentecost, which all the nations of the earth for the Jewish people were gathered together in Jerusalem, because that's where they would all come from around the world. And while they were celebrating Shavuot down below, in the upper room, the saints were getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit had come like a mighty rushing wind. They all began to speak in other languages. They came down out of the upper room. They walked into the temple, and that temple is a huge place in Israel, by the way, and they began to speak in other tongues, but all the people from around the world heard them speaking in their language, and thus the Holy Spirit came to introduce a new age, a new dispensation in the economy of God, where Yeshua was preached to put away the old and introduce the new. The time came for the Holy Spirit dispensation, and we have been in that now for 2,000 years. The next dispensation that is going to come in the economy of heaven at the end of the age is the dispensation of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when God gathers together all things in heaven and earth. And this is where the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will commence. The nations of the earth are going to come under the government of God, and it is going to happen because the earth right now is shaking. I mean, you just saw an earth-shaking event in 182 countries around the world, lockdowns, death, and it's not done. It's only the first wave of three more waves to come. My God, it's like Egypt getting ready to get whacked. It's happening all over the world. We'll see where things go. But for me and my house, we're going to celebrate. We're going to cheer the children of Israel, and to imagine that I, Vincent Xavier, have been grafted into the Israel of God. Hallelujah. That I've literally been grafted in like from a wild olive branch. I've been broken off the wild olive branch, the Gentile nation, and I've been grafted in to the olive tree of Israel. Oh, my God, I have been grafted in, assimilated into one of those tribes, and this is a mystery. This is a mystery that the two, the Jew and the Gentile, through the cross of Christ, would become one new man in the earth. So in the economy of heaven, there is neither Jew or Gentile, bond or free, Greek or Scythian. We are no male or female, but everybody that comes to faith in Yeshua, the Jew first, then the Gentiles. We have now come into a brand new paradigm called Christ. Oh, it's so deep. It's so rich. When you put the two covenants together and you blend them together, what an amazing plan that the creator of the universe has had. And I rejoice. And I rejoice with Israel. I rejoice with the Jewish people. I rejoice with the Hebrew people. For from them came all these glorious promises and events that have happened in the world for 2,000 years, and I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit led me to faith in Jesus Christ so that I could be a recipient of eternal life and the promises of God and rejoice and enjoy these feasts of the Lord with the nation of Israel. Oh, what a glorious reality we have in Christ. The world knows nothing. They're blinded, dark. They think who's the next president's going to be is important. Who really cares? The world is dark. The world is blind. The blind leaders are leading the blind masses. And the blind leaders and the blind masses are all going to fall into the ditch if they don't wake up. Jesus said that there's a wide road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. There's a narrow pathway that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. But that narrow pathway is Christ Jesus. Yeshua is the narrow pathway. Yeshua is the narrow road. And if you're walking in Yeshua, if you're walking in Jesus, if you're walking according to the new covenant, if you're walking according to the gospel, if you're walking according to the Holy Spirit, that is a gift from Jesus and the Father, you could be rejoicing today, even though now it is a narrow pathway. Oh, saints of God, it's going to lead to the fruitful fields of abundance. And that's where I stand, right there. I stand right there in my faith and in my heart and what I've learned throughout the years. My God, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is the time to be cheerful as a believer. This is not a time to be afraid, because the Lord Jesus Christ has abolished death. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, and the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, Hebrews chapter 2. So we know that death has no power over us who believe, because we are connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in our mortal bodies, so that we know we have eternal life. Death has lost its power over our lives. We're not afraid of this stuff. And if we are graced to be martyrs at the end of the age, which there will be many martyrs, and if we are graced to be those martyrs and we die for our faith in Christ, we will resurrect at the second coming. And remember, the Lord rose from the dead on the third day. He died, he was buried, and then on the third day he rose from death. The third day is the first fruit celebration. The third day is the resurrection. And ladies and gentlemen, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from death, we're over 500 witnesses at the same time witnessed Jesus Christ risen from the dead. You can't tell me 500 witnesses going to court is going to mean nothing. 500, above 500 witnesses saw Jesus Christ alive. And he actually walked upon this earth for 40 days and 40 nights, speaking to his Jewish disciples about the kingdom of God. And then he ascended to the right hand of God. He received the title deed of eternal life in the kingdom of God. And now he's been sitting down for 2,000 years waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool for him. But 1,000 years to God is as one day, said the Jewish prophet and apostle Peter. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. 2,000 years for us may seem long, but it's only 2 days in the economy of God. Think about that. God's time is different than our time. We live on the linear timeline. But God lives in the kairos, the unhindered, unlimited time realm of God. It's dispensations and epochs are all inside of him. He's amazing. So here we are. Here we are. Now, the children of Israel, 3,500 years ago, when they brought this celebration of Passover for the first time, they were actually getting ready to go out of the house of bondage known Egypt, known as Egypt. So the house of bondage captured them and enslaved them, and there they were. But the day after the Passover Eve, they were early in the morning. Remember, they ate it with their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand, their loins were girded. They ate the meal in haste because that morning the plague of death was being realized by the Egyptian Empire. All the firstborn males were dead, and all the people of Israel began to say to the children of Israel, go! Pharaoh finally said, go, get out of here. They were broken, the Egyptian Empire, and the children of Israel were now getting ready to leave. But before they did, all those Egyptian people started giving their clothing and their jewels and their gold and their silver, and they thrust it upon the children of Israel and said, go. So when Israel went out of Egypt, they went out loaded. It's called a transfer of wealth. But where did they go? You know, the first place they went was to the Red Sea. And it was at the Red Sea when they were sitting there going, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? We've come to the Red Sea, Moses, and Pharaoh has changed his mind again. And he's coming against us with all of his armies and chariots. What do we do? And Moses fell on his face. And Yahweh said to Moses, get off your face. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stretch out your staff upon the Red Sea. And when he did, the waters parted, and all the children of Israel passed through during Passover through the Red Sea. And they made it to the other side, called the beginning of their wilderness experience. But when the Egyptians tried to go through, the waters caved in on them. What a miraculous deliverance. We remember it. We don't believe it's a bedtime story. We know it's true. We know it's real. Because 40 years later, for the Jewish people, when they were done with their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they came to the River Jordan during the Passover season. And the River Jordan stopped flowing so that the people of Israel passed out of the wilderness on dry ground into the Promised Land. Woo! Come on, the Promised Land. But they always seem to pass over, and miraculous signs and wonders are accomplished around the Passover season. They went out of Egypt into the wilderness through the Red Sea. They went out of the wilderness into the Promised Land through the Jordan River, both supernatural miracles. Hallelujah. And then began the journey where Joshua led the nation of Israel into the Promised Land to establish it and to get out of it the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and on and on and on, all those ites. And so the story of Israel, they become a nation. They have kings and judges, and they have all kinds of the different formats and so much. But all along, there was a promise locked up in Abraham that the seed would come, the promised seed. And through the loins of all of Israel, finally we get to the days of Joseph and Mary. And Mary is now pregnant as a young woman. The Holy Spirit comes upon her and deposits that promised seed, that Yeshua, that Messiah. And she gives birth to Yeshua, the Messiah. The prophets of the temple opened their eyes and they said, surely my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. For a long time, for 1,500 years, they were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting and they thought, well, is it King David? Is it this one? Is it that one? No, the true promised seed came. And he was not of the lineage of human flesh, because no matter how great human beings were, there was the stain of Adam's sin. But Yeshua was born in a virgin womb, not having the sin of Adam. And when he came forth as the sacrificial lamb of God, there was no sin in him. He did not have a generational bloodline curse of Adam. And there he was, Yahweh's only begotten son. The firstborn son, Yahweh, overshadowed the virgin womb of Mary, put his seed in that womb, and produced a son. He is the son of the Father. Isaiah tells us all about it. Isaiah chapter 9 tells us that this is the Son of God. The Son of God has been prophesied in the Old Testament since the book of Genesis. He is the Messiah. He's the only son. There's no other son coming. Now, in the Temple Mount in Jerusalem at the Aqsa Mosque, the Muslims will have written around the Aqsa Mosque, Allah has no son. And that's how I know that Allah is not Yahweh. It's two different gods there. Muhammad has a whole different religion if Allah has no son. And if the Jewish people reject the sonship of Christ, if they reject the Father's Son, Yahweh's Son, they still are blinded and are not yet able to comprehend what is the purpose and plan of Yahweh God from the beginning of time. Only those who understand that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father will ever know eternal life. There will be no eternal life for anybody that has rejected the Son of God. For if God gave us Abraham, and God gave us Isaac, and if God gave us Jacob, and God gave us Joseph, and God gave us David, and God gave us Solomon, and God gave us the prophets, well, God gave us his Son, the only one that would be an accurate sacrifice without any sin in him. For all the others had sin nature in them, but God gave his Son for the world to believe. Now, this is awesome. This is Christianity 101. But the adversary, the devil, is so angry at this gospel. He hates it. He hates it with a passion. And he twists it and condemns it. And just like the Jewish people of old time that were really not the children of Abraham, because Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would believe in me. But those Jewish people in the days of Yeshua, Yeshua was arguing with them. They were arguing with him. They were calling Jesus a devil. They were calling Jesus a false prophet. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to crucify him because they didn't believe who he said he was. But Jesus said, if you were really of Abraham, you would believe in me. And who was believing in Jesus? The multitudes were leaving the Jewish religion, and they were going out to Jesus in the wilderness and receiving a new dispensational covenant. My God. You see, the wrong people took over the Jewish religion. The wrong people took it over. They were more of the seed of Esau. They were Edomites. They were from different lineages. They had no right, but they loved the power that they had over the people. But the true Jewish people that knew Abraham, they went going out to Christ by the tens of thousands into the wilderness because he was pulling them out of that religion that had come to its time of fulfillment. He was about to fulfill all the law. He was going to fulfill the prophets. He was going to pay the price for all the sin that had been committed under that covenant. So Yeshua did it, and then he gave his life for the whole world. And if the whole world would just believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, we would be living in a totally different world. But here's the good news. It's coming. At the end of the age, when the world has destroyed itself, when the plagues are come upon this earth, when World War III is done, when the world is devoured and broken and a smoldering block, when the Great Tribulation ends, when the seven vials of the wrath of God are poured out upon the earth, when mystery Babylon the Great is finally destroyed and Babylon, the political system, is destroyed, then Yeshua will come with all of his army. We will be a part of that army because we will either have been resurrected or we will have been changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and have gone to be with the Lord. But when he comes back to take this earth, we will come back with him, and he will set up his millennial reign, his government. He will take the false prophet, the beast, cast them into a lake of fire. Satan, the adversary from the beginning of time, will be bound for 1,000 years and cast into a pit and locked up so that he cannot deceive the nations any longer. And for 1,000 years, the government on this earth will be Jesus Christ ruling from Jerusalem. I don't care what other books say. The book says that's exactly what's going to happen. And the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord because the governors of the kingdom are going to be manifesting forth the will of the Father. Jesus Christ will be the ruler of rulers, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But the overcomers will be ruling cities and governing cities. This present realm where we have governors over our states, they're going to be replaced with righteous governors who have the mind of Christ. And they're going to wield the power of the kingdom of God for 1,000 years. And the nations are going to get straightened out. Finally, deception will be bound Finally, there'll be no more false prophet, no more beast, no more deception, no more lies. And for 1,000 years, a restoration will begin. And you and I, who are part of the kingdom, are going to be part of that. We're going to be living on this earth. But here's the glorious thing. By the time the glorious kingdom of Christ comes, we who belong to him are going to have glorified bodies. So the reason why we're going to be able to reign for 1,000 years with the Lord is because we're not going to be in these bodies of death. We're going to be given the gift of a glorified body. The Bible tells us that these bodies are going into the earth, and we're going to harvest a brand new body that can no longer die, no longer get sick. It doesn't need the light of the sun or the moon. These bodies are intended to live forever. They don't need cars to go from one place to another. We're going to be transported in the spirit in our glorified bodies. There's not going to be any darkness. Oh, my God, he's giving us brand new bodies to live forever with no deception in it, no opposition, no resistance. Yeah, we're going to be ruling and reigning on this earth. Yes, we are. This man right here, going to be ruling and reigning, going to be a governor, ruling, but not for my own purposes, not to the will of man, but to the will of my Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to carry out his orders, and we're going to do it his way. And if the governors would have done it his way, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. But the leaders of the world said, we're going to do it our way. And look what you've brought upon yourself, you silly people, because you rejected the ways of God. You rejected the ways of the Messiah, and you brought this wickedness into our world and this blasphemy that's coming into our world. You brought it upon yourself. But if you would have only ruled according to the mind of Christ, the word of God, if you would have only honored God in your laws that you promoted, if you will only honored God when you started thinking about shedding innocent blood to the tune of 90 million innocent babies, if you only would have honored God in your decisions about men marrying men and women marrying men, women, if you would have only honored God before you promoted those blasphemous laws, you wouldn't be where you are right now. The world is where it is right now, with a death going over it, people dying, and more waves of death coming, because we have blasphemed and sinned and rebelled against the most holy God. Silly, silly people. You call yourself a ruler. You're as silly as Pharaoh was. Pharaoh thought he was really something. He turned out to be nothing. Caesars thought they were something. They turned out to be nothing. The kings of Babylon thought they were something. They turned out to be nothing. And so shall it be with all these worldly men. They're going to run. They're going to hide in the clefts of the rock. They're going to hide from the face of the one who sits upon the throne. They're going to ask the rocks to fall on them because they're silly. They're empty vessels. They carry no water. They are filled with blasphemy and dust, and their words mean nothing. Joe Biden wants to support abortion, homosexuality, all these things. How dare anybody vote for that weak man? Bernie Sanders, we've got to stand for abortion. We've got to stand up for homosexuality. We've got to deal with these xenophobes and these homophobes and these abortion, you're silly. You're empty. You have nothing of value in you. You can squeeze every bit of life out of you to be not a drop of water. You're dust. You have nothing of value to give to this world. You're only leading the world into the Antichrist kingdom. You're setting the world up to worship the beast. You are dust because you've rejected the wisdom of God. And I don't care how many times you say, oh, God, bless America. Let's pray. Oh, God is good. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You're a politician. You would never promote laws contrary to the word of God if you were real. Never. But I fear that the times are upon us that this country, something would want Joe Biden to be the president of this country because they have been trained by the spiritual darkness to hate Jesus Christ. It's not Donald Trump they hate. Listen to me. They don't hate Donald Trump. They think they do, But the spirit of Antichrist has put it in their minds to hate him, but it's his own hate. What they really hate is God, because they hate God's laws. Anybody that would uphold God's laws would be the enemy of the Antichrist. So anybody that stands for a culture of life, anybody that stands for a culture of normalcy and morality is the enemy of the Antichrist. So the devil has put in the minds of the masses to hate God. Jesus Christ, they hate him. And anybody that stands for him is their enemy. So they don't really hate Donald Trump. They just hate the idea of losing their bloodletting, sacrificial, satanic worship on the altars of idolatry, shedding innocent blood. Men want to marry men. Women want to marry women. Pornography needs to run all over the world. We want that freedom. We want that right. We want the lust. And we only want people to support what we want, says the world, who is demonized. This is the really, this is the truth. This is the word of God. So it's coming. And I don't expect too many are going to wake up from the delusion and their souls are going to be damned forever. The souls of these blasphemous people, the people that have come under satanic authority, are going to be tormented forever. And the enemy that used them will abuse them throughout eternity. What foolishness. What ridiculousness that you have abandoned the glory of God for idols. And now the day of judgment is coming. Now the time of collapse is coming. And I will say again, I could turn left, right, look ahead of me, behind me, above me, beneath me. There's a different story. Everybody's got a different story where coronavirus came from. Everybody. There's a different story everywhere. You know why? Because on Isaiah 47:11, an evil comes, and you will not know where it is coming from. A mischief rises, and you will not be able to put it off. We are fulfilling the word, the prophetic word of God that was spoken the day before coronavirus was ever heard in this country. Isaiah 47:11, an evil cometh, and you know not from where it comes. Nobody knows where it came from. Nobody knows what's going on, but a mischief rises. You're in the midst of mischief right now. Satanic mischief is all over the world right now. You're living in it, and it's going to get more mischievous as the days go by. But eventually, the magicians and the rulers of Babylon are not going to be able to navigate. Just like the rulers of Babylon in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king wanted to know, what was my dream? And I want an interpretation. And all the magicians of Babylon came and said, King, you're asking a hard thing. Who can know your dream? He said, if you don't tell me my dream and interpret it, you're dead. Who could do that? And the magicians of Babylon couldn't do it. But there was a wise man in Babylon. His name was Daniel. And they said, wait, before you kill all these people, let's fetch this guy Daniel. Maybe he could help us. And Daniel, a worshiper of the true God, Yahweh, he not only interprets the king's dream, but he tells him what the dream was. And he says, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And Daniel writes in chapter 12 that those who are wise in these last days will shine as the firmament of the sun, and those who turn many to righteousness as the stars of heaven forever. Turning the world to righteousness is turning them to Jesus, because he is God's righteousness. And we desire to turn people to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And if you could hear my message today, if you could hear these words today, I adjure you, I reach out to you in the love of God. Put away foolishness, put away vanity, put away rebellion and hatred, and turn to Jesus for your eternal salvation, for the day is drawing late. Receive your salvation. God loves you. God loves you. And whatever condition your life is in, it doesn't matter. Just receive Christ. Repent. Confess. Jesus Christ, I believe. Jesus Christ, I believe. Forgive me for my sins. And I'm telling you right there, if you mean it, God's going to seal you with the eternal spirit of life. And you could enter into this thing in a whole different way. If you reject him, you neglect him, you oppose him, I'm sorry to say that even though God loves you and has reached out to you, you abandon him, you will be eternally abandoned, and it won't be a rock party in hell. I guarantee you that. It'll be the worst day you've ever known on this earth, times 10,000 times, without a tomorrow to stop it. Folks, you're in some serious stuff right now. And those of us who believe in the Messiah, who have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, why do you think we could be so cheerful and rejoicing? Why do you think we could be the happiest people on earth? Because people are dying, heck no, to know that there's life for those who will receive it. Our rejoicing is in Christ. Our confidence is in Christ. And even if we died, it doesn't matter, because we have eternal life in us. Death here is just quickly being transported into His eternal kingdom. His love, His grace is waiting. Our Father who created us is waiting to see us. And through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled. We're brought back to Him. There's no other reconciliation. There's no law of Moses going to bring you back to the Father. There's nothing on this earth that will bring you back to the Father. There's a cross. It's a highway. It's a bridge. The cross, Jesus Christ. He came to reconcile the world back to the Father. It's only through Jesus Christ that you could ever know the Father and have fellowship with Him and talk to Him like a daddy. For the Spirit that enters into our heart cries, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. We talk to Him all the time, every day. We have fellowship with our Father. And He wants you to have fellowship with Him. He wants you to come home. Forget politics and government for a moment and come home. Government won't save you. They're going to get into more debacles and arguments and tricks and scants and all that garbage. Listen, it's time to come home, people. I'm showing you the way. It's not through Vincent Xavier. It's through Jesus Christ. He said Himself, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me. All philosophies and religions talk about a way, about truth, about life. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Come to Me, and I will bring you to the Father. I want to bring you to your God, to your Creator. And He'll explain why you've had a hard life. And when He tells you, you're going to understand and you're going to be set free. Don't allow demons to accuse God. Don't allow demons to accuse God to get you to hate God. No, that is demonic. Love Him.
Pastor Vincent.
Yes,
Pastor
sir.
Vincent, we have Ken Wagner on the line here if you are taking calls, and I can put him through right now if you like.
All right, let's do it. Let's take on Pastor Ken Wagner calling in. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Wow. What a word of encouragement. Boy, I really hope people are really taking this in, all the things you said this morning. They're so true and so real that, you know, if I didn't know Jesus myself, have a relationship with Him, I don't know if I can believe half the things that you're saying. I mean, they're so phenomenal, so fantastic when you begin to think about all these things that God has done for us. I couldn't help but think also when you were talking about the Old Testament prophets and ministers and leaders. You know, there was Abraham and Moses and all these people, David and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all these prophets and so on. You know, they interceded with the Lord directly, but they didn't have the authority and the power that we have when we have said, Lord, I ask You to be Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my heart. Let me be one with You. And then He does the interceding. He does the interceding with His Father and blesses us and does miracles, does every kind of unbelievable thing in our lives when we have that faith and belief in Him. Nobody had that before Jesus walked this earth and gave us that opportunity. And that's something you're talking about today. The things you're talking about, that's available to each and every one of us. What a blessing to say, Lord, be a part of my life. Let me be a part of you. Let me receive everything that I have from you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Renew my life. Let me be one. And then I don't care what happens to me. I don't mean to be flippant about that. But the very fact is that with all this coronavirus going on, I don't have any fear of that virus because I know the Lord has covered me, blessed me, washed me, and is taking care of me. And I hope to God that people that are listening today will do the same exact thing and believe and have that faith in God, the one and only God that we can truly believe in, Jesus Christ.
Pastor Ken, I want you to pray right now for everybody out there, anybody that's out there right now that heard this message and that desires to accept Christ into their heart. Let's pray right now. Go ahead, Pastor Ken.
Father, I thank you that you've given us your very Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior, our Savior, and Lord, the Lord over all who accept Jesus Christ as God's Son. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the work that you did. You've demonstrated everything possible that we need while you were here on this earth. You blessed people. You healed people. You've forgiven people. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, you wash away all that stain of sin. You wash away all the sins we've done. It's like you put them in a bag and took them out to the deepest parts of the ocean and threw them in there and let them never be seen again. I thank you, Lord, that we can grow greater and greater and continue to be your sons, your mighty sons, your sons who have power and thanksgiving and power to give forth with every heavenly blessing that you can put upon us, Lord God, that we are willing to receive. And I thank you, Father, that everyone listening will humble themselves right now to say, Lord, I want you to be part of my life. Please forgive me for my sins. Please accept me as one of your own and let me go forth in glory and power. And thank you, Father, for all that you have done and all that you have appointed for each and every one of us to do. We are yours, Lord God, forever and ever. And I thank you for the opportunity to be a servant to you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
All right. So, Father, right now, as we say goodbye, we want to pray. If you're out there, just say this prayer. Jesus, I believe. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I confess I am a sinner and I need your salvation. Do that right now. Believe that God has heard you. The reason why you heard this broadcast was for that reason. To all the saints of God that are going into your homes tonight, when the sun sets, right around 7 o'clock or so, enjoy your evening of Pesach. I'm Pastor Vince. I've got to go. We'll see you Sunday right here on Kerm Radio. Pastor Ken, thanks for calling in. God bless everybody. Shalom.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and I would like to cordially...